A Chance Meeting by Jayhawk, read by Penica. Summary. Adam is a figure skater, Chris is a snowboarder, the Olympics are on. Just go with the flow, this is too silly to have a summary anyway. Author's notes. Written for Demonic Angel, who asked for nothing really, so I convinced her this is what she wanted, over at the ONDT AI charity drive to benefit Haiti. Come on, it'll be fun, Katie says, pulling on Chris's wrist. Chris is pretty sure there's nothing fun about watching grown men in tights practice dizziness-inducing pirouettes. He's not that gay. But he still feels guilty about going gay on Katie, and he's never been able to say no to her anyway. I don't see why we can't just go out for lunch or something, he says. You're so lame. How are you ever going to meet someone if you spend all of your time holed up in your room? Chris wasn't aware that the Olympics had anything to do with his dating habits. In fact, he thinks that dating another athlete, one in tights no less, would be a spectacularly bad idea. I'm here to compete, he says petulantly, not to find a date. Obviously, she says. How many books have you read since you got here? Two, but Katie shakes her head and gives him a disapproving look, tugging on his wrist again until he stops digging his heels in. I'm not looking for a date, he repeats, but it's obvious she isn't going to listen. It's surprisingly warm inside the rink, and he unbuttons his coat while he lets himself be led to a seat. The ice is full of people in tights of varying degrees of tightness, carefully navigating around each other in lazy circles. There's not half the amount of glitter he thought there would be. In fact, there's no glitter at all, just tights, shirts, and a few cases of leg warmers. It makes sense, he supposes. He doesn't practice in his competition gear either. He jiggles his right knee and watches the ice without real interest. He doesn't recognize any of the faces, but then he knows nothing about figure skating, so unless J-Lo has taken it up, he wouldn't expect to recognize anyone. Katie seems to know everyone, though, rattling off names and facts at an alarming speed, hands fluttering as she tries to point them all out. Chris sinks lower in his seat and contemplates napping. Oh, Katie says suddenly, and the dumbstruck awe in her voice makes Chris watch the ice with renewed interest. Maybe J-Lo decided to show after all. Who's that? Chris asks, because the new addition to the ice is certainly not J-Lo, but damn. I cannot believe you don't know Adam Lambert, Katie says. Have you been living under a rock? Chris doesn't know Adam Lambert, but looking at him, he thinks he wants to. Intimately. Adam is tall, with unruly dark hair and what looks to be blue eyes, lined heavily with eyeliner. His black leggings show off a pair of forever long legs, and his loose gray shirt has a torn neckline, through which a tight black undershirt peeks out. He's wearing a pair of fingerless black gloves, and his nails are painted black. It's not really his looks that draw the eye, though. It's his confidence. He moves as if the ice is his bitch, and the way the other skaters make way for him, Chris thinks that it probably is. The soft classical music that had been streaming out of the speakers suddenly stops, only to be replaced with some kind of dance remix that Chris doesn't quite recognize. Then Adam starts to move, and remembering how to breathe takes precedence over naming the song. He's good. Chris squeaks about halfway through the performance that isn't really a performance, but more like Adam showing off his moves. He's a legend, Katie says, fumbling for Chris's hand and gripping it tight. Everyone thought he would retire 2 years ago when he injured his knee in an accident, but he made his comeback late last year and he seems to be in better shape than ever. The dance track switches seamlessly into something else. On the ice, Adam makes a jump that contains way too many spins to be real before landing on one foot while the other leg stretches out behind him with flawless grace. Holy fucking shit, Katie says, while the people on and around the ice break into spontaneous applause and catcalls. What was that? Chris asks, even if he's pretty sure he won't understand the answer. A quadruple toe loop, Katie says, obviously distraught. But with attitude like that, I wouldn't put a quintuple out of the question. Chris has no idea what that even means, but he watches as Adam glides across the ice to exchange words with a petite, grim-looking woman that Chris assumes is his coach. They rarely do quadruples on open training rinks like this, Katie stage whispers, and a jump like the one Adam did showcases his talent a little too well. Chris figures that makes sense, since he holds back during practice runs as well. Whatever Adam's coach is saying, it doesn't seem to affect him because he throws his head back and laughs while spinning around a few times before heading out onto the ice again. That's Kara DeGardi, Katie explains, Adam's coach. She was the one that discovered him. Chris wonders if figure skaters get discovered a lot. It seems like the kind of thing that takes years and years of training. Adam spins around on the ice, and for a moment, Chris is sure Adam's looking straight at him. However, Adam swivels again, and the moment is gone. A couple in a matching blue casual outfit leaves the ice, and another male skater dressed in black enters it. He's tiny and narrow, with a funky haircut that seems wildly out of place on a figure skater. Not that the last 15 minutes made Chris an expert or anything. "That's Tommy Ratliff," Katie says. "Rumor has it he's dating Adam, but I'm pretty sure that's all just fan service. They did this hilarious couples dance for a charity benefit just before Christmas, and they've been playing it up since." Chris doesn't have to ask what Katie means, because within moments, Adam sweeps Tommy up in the air and spins him around the ice. "Let me down, you jerk!" Tommy laughs as they spin past the corner where Chris and Katie are seated. Adam's answering laugh makes Chris's stomach flutter. "So Adam's gay then?" Chris says, trying to sound casual, but failing miserably. "Yeah." Katie trails off, but Chris doesn't have to turn his head to know she's staring at him. "You like him?" she asks way, way, way too loudly. "You know, I've been wondering the same thing." Chris looks up slowly to find Adam watching them from the rink, with his elbows resting casually on the railing. He's even prettier up close, with his blue eyes crinkled at the corners and a smirk on his full, freckled lips. Chris swallows while Katie squeals, pulling her hand back from Chris's. "He's gay and available," she says, shoving at Chris's shoulder. "Kind of a dork, but you get used to it with time." Adam throws his head back, laughing, and, yup, it still makes Chris's stomach flutter. "Is that so?" Adam asks, giving Chris a long look. "Does it speak, too?" Chris says, since he's not used to eyeliner wearing larger-than-life guys hitting on him. Adam laughs again and swings his stupidly long legs over the railing. On the other side of the rink, Chris spots Tommy laughing with Adam's coach, and he wonders if Adam does this a lot. Adam is unbearably tall with his skates on, but the way he stands in them like they're the most comfortable flats in the world is kind of a turn-on. "I have somewhere to be," Katie says, jumping up from her seat. "It's really important, too. See you later, Chris. Nice to meet you, Adam." Chris looks dumbly after her when she leaves. He doesn't know how to handle this situation at all. "That's better," Adam says, sliding down into Katie's vacated seat and crossing his legs before him. "I'm Adam." He sticks his hand out and Chris shakes it, licking his lips. "I'm, Chris. Chris Allen." "I know who you are," Adam says. "You do?" Chris isn't completely unknown, but it's not like he's famous. "Mm-hmm. There was a blurb about you in Sports Illustrated. I thought you were cute." "Oh." He vaguely remembers his mother mentioning that. She collects everything that has ever been written about him and puts it into a scrapbook of embarrassments. Some of it's nice, of course, but mostly it just makes him blush. "So," Adam says, apparently determined to keep their one-sided conversation going. "Got any plans for tonight?" Chris did promise he'd take Matt to the movies, but Matt knows him. He's not going to mind if Chris does something else. "No." "Want plans for tonight?" Chris licks his lips. He hasn't been on a date in forever, mostly because he hasn't had time, but also because he has this niggling suspicion he doesn't date well. He's not effortlessly witty like some people, since all he really does with his time is train, compete, read, and make music. He's pretty sure no one wants to listen to him go on about music, halfpipe, and books for an entire evening. "Yeah," he finally says, sneaking a glance at Adam, only to find him already looking. "That would be nice." Adam smiles and reaches up to touch his fingers to Chris's lips. His touch is strangely electric. "I'll pick you up at 7, he says, before he stands up and moves back towards the rink. It's not until Adam is halfway across the ice that Chris realizes he never told Adam where he lives. The end. Reader's notes. Thank you to Jayhawk for letting me record this fic. If you would like to find it online, you can find it at http://jhawk-fic.livejournal.com/67007.html. Thanks for listening.